We're doing a series called Mannequin Challenge and talking about not getting stuck in life because of the pains or the problems of the past. Life has a way of bringing stuff into our life that God didn't want us to have. We didn't order off the menu of life, but we find ourselves dealing with stuff. Jesus said it. In this life, you'll deal with trials and tribulations. Be of good cheer. I've overcome. The reason we've already seen in the past that he connected that was because his success, his victory, is connected to our situation. How to draw from that success, how to draw from that victory and bring it into the challenges of life through his word is what enables us to be victorious. You're not victorious just because you're a child of God. You're victorious because as a child of God, you can apply the word of God in a powerful way that makes everything line up with what God wanted. Amen? And so some people are very passive in their Christian walk. Well, I love Jesus, I'm going to heaven, and everything else will just happen, and they just let the dust fall and settle and let the pieces fall where they may, and they find themselves not having the life that God wants them to have. You're going to deal with challenges, but we don't have to let the challenges or the pain or the problem or the people or crazy people, you might say, keep us in the past. Some people, they're living, but they're frozen. They're not going any farther. They're not going anywhere, nothing greater, nothing more, nothing different. Year in, year out's the same. That's not the plan of your Father. He has great plans for you. Amen? Amen? And so we've been talking about how to walk through this process. And every time I get to a place of, all right, we're going to talk about how to deal with unforgiveness. Because if you've ever had someone do you wrong, yes. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. There'll be a Methodist church on me, Hope Church. Come on now. I mean, you say yes, amen, preach it, whatever you want. It don't matter. Don't be too quiet on me. We've all had someone stab us in the back. We've all had someone do us wrong. We've all had someone hurt your feelings, right? I mean, even sometimes people you know, sometimes people you don't know. I had a guy driving my daughter to school. I didn't share this in the first service. I was driving my daughter to school, and some crazy guy started riding my tail. And then he went in front of me and moved his truck, you know, how like he was going to hit me. And I, praise God, I stayed calm. Telling my daughter, it's okay, it's okay. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of visual planning went in my head. Let's be right. Let's be real. That was you on the highway, wasn't it? Come here for prayer right now. Fivefold ministry coming your way. I even thought, man, I should have videotaped it and send it to one of my friends that are in the police force and find out who they are. I mean, talk about the devil messing with you. And then later I went to a restaurant and I came out of the restaurant and there was a truck that looked just like it. I went, because you have that tension of, do I run away or do I hunt them down and just deal with it, get it over with? Or do you handle it? I mean, we all deal with these crazy things that, and the devil tries to get us to go these different directions and the pressures. And when you allow the pressures of the moment or the opinions of people to move you, James says that you begin to waver. Yes. And the person that wavers away from God's word, and one day I believe it and the other day I'm not believing it, don't let that person, James says, ever think they'll receive anything from God. Yet God has prepared everything for you. Based on the blood of Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary in that covenant, he has prepared a table of provision for you. The Bible also says, and challenge everything I say with the Bible. Challenge everything. It's for your growth, your consistency. Dig deep. Spend the week saying, I don't know if that's true. I'm going to find out. Because that's when you're going to find what God wants you to find. Amen. But the Bible even says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has, not going to, has already prepared for you. But he's revealed them to you by your spirit. And so God has some stuff for us, and we all could be tempted to go the wrong path, make the wrong choices. But learning to stay on the right path and stay on it consistently. Stay on it consistently. See, when you begin to catch a vision of what God wants you to have and begin to see what God wants you to do, and which is a powerful principle, because if you're not aware of who God's made you, if you're not aware of what God has for you, you'll never want for it. You'll never believe for it. You'll never try for it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Before you can have faith or receive, Hebrews 6, and faith is a faith and patience to receive what God has for you, before you have to be aware of it. And that's the power. If someone has never heard that Jesus is their Savior and that without Jesus you're going to go to hell, don't get quiet on me. Somebody act like you never heard that. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. And there's only one way to heaven. I don't care if you love somebody who's got a different opinion. There is only love them and then pray for them and share the truth. According to the Bible, there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the two people that agree. The other are like, but Oprah said there's a lot of ways. We'll pray for Oprah. Who's rich? Who's famous? But still wrong. Have you ever met somebody who's rich and famous and still wrong? Because let all men be liars and God's word be true. And so if we're not aware of it, and that was the thing that even the prodigal son had left his father, wasted his inheritance, found himself feeding pigs and being so hungry that he wished he could even eat the slop. But it came to himself. He was awakened. He was reminded, you could say, easier way to say it. He was reminded of who he really was. And he thought to himself, my father's employees have more than enough. Why am I staying here? When you begin to catch that your heavenly father has already prepared for you to have, not just financial, and that's a part of it, but in healing, in peace, in joy, and you begin to come awaken to the reality, a holy dissatisfaction that where I'm at doesn't mean I'm a bad person. If you're struggling financially, that does not mean you're a bad person today. It just means that you still got to awaken to the reality of who God is and who you are in that connection. If you're struggling with sickness today, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're not going to heaven. No, it just means you have to be awakened to the reality of who God is and who you are in that connection. That he is your Jehovah Jireh, that he is your healer, that he is your peace, that he is your wisdom, whatever it might be. If you don't have it, you need to begin to ask because you know he is. And when you begin to understand he is and you're asking for, you'll get a revelation that you are based on that connection. Jesus said, we'll get into this, that he's the vine and you're the branches. If you have your Bibles, let's look here. He's the vine, you're the branches. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Look, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. We're not going to go any farther than that verse. Because what we have to keep coming back to, and every time I work on a message on dealing with offense or dealing with rejection or dealing with failure or dealing with pain or dealing whatever it might be that causes us to get stuck, the Lord keeps redirecting my focus of my process to this because we have to understand if we don't make the connection to the vine, any principle or instruction will not last in your life and you'll have tried it but never completed it. And if you don't complete the process, you can't have the reward at the end of that process. Hebrews 6, it's through faith and patience. I could talk to you about how to forgive, but until we learn the connection to the vine. You say, why is that important? Because when you are a branch connected to the vine, everything in the vine belongs to you. Let me say that again. When you are a branch connected to the vine, everything in the vine doesn't say, okay, this half of my vine is going to go to these branches and they get some blessing and they get the ones to the left will get some healing and these people and start breaking it down. No, everything, all of the life that's in the vine is accessible to every branch that stays connected. If you don't stay connected, in that same verse it says, you'll wither, you'll fall, and you'll be like a stick that'll be picked up to be burned. But if you stay connected, I gotta keep you connected because you can follow every financial principle in the book and that will help you. But if you do it without God, that will hurt you and you'll get to a place because you'll try to keep yourself where you brought yourself. But God is able to not only bring you there, he's able to keep you there. If you do all the principles of the world just to get ahead in business, and principles are good. We need to learn principles. They'll help you. But some people, I'm riding the coattails of a famous person, and they're bringing me along. Well, if they brought you along, then they can take you back. But if God brought you along and utilized people, he might use people to help get you there. But when you understand it's God who's bringing you there, then you can rest at night knowing that the God who brought you there is the God who can keep you there. And you don't have to be stressing out about, I wonder how long this will last. Because the same demon that says you can't can't have it, you'll have another demon when you do get it show up and say, you can't keep it. And you better learn the principle now, how to stand by faith, so when you get the healing and the devil later, a month later, say, oh, look at the symptom, you lost it now, you can stand and say, no, no, the same Jehovah God who healed me before is my healing and health today. We got to work this so that when the instructions come that God shows you, not what I show you, but when God shows you from his word, you can get a hold of it and apply it and stick with it until that whole process is done. Faith and patience, Hebrews 6. We got to learn to draw from the vine. Draw from the vine. So whatever area it is, you got to understand that the life source doesn't come from around you. It comes from within you, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in you. As you begin to allow that Word, you begin to read that Word, meditate on that Word, it starts building up on the inside of you. And that's where your connection is. Because if we allow the situations to define the Bible, you will change. Because situations change. That's why the Bible says, don't focus on the temporal, which means subject to change. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm in pain. Always in pain. No, that's not the truth. That's the fact. And there's a difference between the fact and truth. The word is truth. Jesus is truth. His word is spirit and they are life. The truth says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth you know shall set you free. Expand your borders. Expand your boundaries. Truth says you're healed. Facts say you're in pain. And I'm not saying you can say, I'm not in pain when you feel pain. That's denying what you feel. I'm saying that even when you feel pain, you can say, Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Mark 11, 23, 24, believe that you have received them and you shall have it. They're saying, I choose to believe the truth over the problem. Because the temporary moment changes, but God's word never changes. See, it's until you, if you want the great things of God, you got to be able to look in the, not the clarity, but in the darkness of the moment and see the light of God's word. God looked into the darkness in Genesis, and he didn't say how dark. He didn't even say darkness flee. He just said light be. So you got to bind some stuff, but sometimes some Christians, we do all our energy on binding. Start speaking what God says. You get a heart revelation of what God says before the situation changes. You got to see. James says the person hears the word and doesn't do it is a person that sees themselves and goes away and forgets what manner of person they are. Yeah. See, what happens when you get an instruction, revelation of the word, it not only shows you who God is, it shows you who you are. And just like the prodigal son, you wake up and say, wait a minute, I've been struggling with sickness for 40 years, but wait a minute, my father's a healer. I have rights to healing. Didn't Jesus say to the woman who said, I need you to come heal my son? Said, oh, I'm sorry. The bread of the children doesn't go to the dogs. That could hurt somebody's feelings in this current politically correct day when you try to keep everybody happy. But there was a reason for it. And she responded. There was a pressure, but she responded. But said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs that live under the tables eat the scraps from the table. You know what she was saying? You're still my Lord, and you still have ample supply. And though I'm not in covenant right now, I'm believing, I know that there is so much bread of healing that it's going to flow over. Because when you're hungry and you don't have much, there's not a scrap that falls without you getting it. Come on, no. And if it hits the floor, you count, 5-second rule. And if you didn't see it hit the floor, 5-minute rule. Because when you're hungry, nothing goes to waste. The only time it goes to waste is when you got more than enough. And she's saying, I know my God has more than enough. As long as you see God as stingy, you're striving just to manipulate God to squeeze out a little deal for you and yours. But when you begin to see your Heavenly Father has more than enough and it's already prepared, you just got to learn. We have to learn to access it and draw it from the vine. And it's not an overnight thing. Oh, I wish Jesus just kind of give me a blessing and help me be rich tomorrow. Bam. And you're pushing buttons and you're pulling the, no, that's, you're at a gambling boat. You're not praying. Amen. Come on, Jesus. Ting, 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 ting. Oh. Lord, I promise I'll start tithing if I win this one. You don't tithe on 50, you'll never tithe on 5,000. I'm just telling you. You have to begin to catch what God wants you to do and begin to stick with it. Now here, we talked last week about the different levels. And before I get into that, let me give you a story that comes to my mind. Years ago, I was leaving my house, and as I was going to my car, my neighbor's dog, and they had, in those days, a King Corso. You never seen a King Corso? Look it up. It's kind of like a pit bull on steroids. Yeah, it's got like the bite, seven times the bite of a pit bull. You know what I mean? Very strong. It's like a 110-pound, beautiful dog. Beautiful dog. They called him Max. And as I was going to my car, I noticed Max had got an idea somewhere in his head. You know, little dogs, you give them a little toy, you throw it at it, and they might bite it and growl, and you pull it, and they back up, and they think they're so tough and shaking their head. Max got the idea that a toy wasn't big enough. The things on the ground weren't high enough. And he found this large branch still on the tree, literally. And if I would not have seen it, I would not believe it. So if you don't believe it, this story, I get it. Because I wouldn't believe it. But I saw it. And that dog had climbed up the tree. I don't know how he did it. Jump. I don't know. I really don't know. But all I know is when I came out, there was a tree branch 10 feet high going horizontal. And connected to the tree branch was this dog who had bit this branch and was dangling, shaking, trying to get that branch down. He saw something that defied gravity, defied possibility, that was higher than most any dogs would ever want even to try. But he wanted it, he saw it, and he was going to get it, regardless how long it took him. And I think he brought that branch down. Why do I say that? Because I want that in your spirit as a child of God. You're not waiting for somebody just to dangle something in front of you that they can pull away. You begin to look up and say, wait, I'm not settling for what's around me. I'm going to begin to lift my eyes. I'm going to begin to dream a big dream. I'm going to begin to believe for something big and be able to climb to those places that catches the attention of other people. How did you get there? And you got a hold of something that you refuse to let go. Regardless of gravity, regardless of the pressure, you got a hold of something. Abraham was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, regardless of his age, regardless of Sarah's womb being dead, regardless of the situation that seemed impossible, he got a hold of a promise. And when he got a hold of it, he was not letting go. He was hanging on to it until he saw the results. What do? We get an idea. We pray a little prayer. And if it doesn't show up next week, we move on. Why didn't God do it? He's already done it. It's about you getting hold of it. And the enemy's going to try to keep you from it. God's not trying to keep you from it. David says, you have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God has already purchased it. He's already prepared it. He's already provided it. You can wait till you get to heaven to have it. Or like Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if it's in heaven for you, it's available for you to bring it to earth. And God has it available for you. He has available for you. You don't need anybody else's stuff. God has so much stuff just for you. You begin to open your eyes and begin to see all the great things he has and get a hold of that promise and not let go. Not let go. Well, there's different levels of the word we talked about last week. I'm going to go over those real quickly before we close. Different levels of the word, because the key is, how do we pray a prayer and stick with it? Having done all, stand. Great verse. Don't cast away your confidence, for it's great recompense and reward. Great verse. How do we build that into our life that when we get a promise like Max, we hang on to it? So I'm going to live the maximum of my life because I'm not letting go. Because we look at Abraham and we read his story. Wow, what a man of faith. We look at Noah. Wow, what a man of faith. We look at these people in the Bible, but we read their whole life story in a few minutes. And it took them years and years and years and years. Noah, 120 years. Can you imagine getting a hold of a promise from God that takes 120 years? Can you imagine getting a hold of the promise and the plan of God that he wants to bring you in to be a big piece of the puzzle? But it's not going to happen overnight. It might take years. But when the moment comes, you have been in training and prepared so that you're ready to step into that. We want things quick, but things don't always happen quick. Because you deal with oppositions, you deal with situations, there is timing. And so there's different levels of the Word of God. We saw, first of all, that the Word is, as an example, is used like water. Say water.
Water.
Come on, work with me. Say water.
Water.
Thank you. We see that out of John's Gospel, chapter 15. We see it out of Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, it says that Jesus will wash the church and make it clean by the washing of the water of the Word. John 15, Jesus said to the disciples, now you're clean through the Word I've spoken over you. You know, when you hear the Word, allow the Word just to be in your life, and you just listen to it. Even if you got it in the background, it's just around it. It's cleaning. It's going to clear some junk off, some confusion, some what do I need to do? The storm, because the storms of life are more emotional and spiritual than they are in the reality of what you're dealing with. I mean, that storm's going on in your head, and you're distracted, and your emotions are going all these different places, and it's a spiritual connection to drive your emotions, so you begin to drive your ship in the wrong direction. But all of a sudden, the dust of the world is being cleaned off. The offenses of the world is being cleaned off. Why? Because the Word is just washing over you. When you allow the water to wash you, it's like taking a shower. The only thing you really need to do is make sure you're in the right spot. Right? You don't turn on the water and stand on the outside of the shower, do you? I've been here for 6 hours and I still got this dirt on me and I smell. You smell because you haven't got in the water. Don't look at your neighbor and say, think about it. Don't do that. You don't get in the shower and let it just hit your toes. No, you get under the flow of the water. And all you have to do is let the water flow. And when the water's hitting you and flowing, it's starting to clean, right? Some of you had some soap, deodorant, maybe cologne, perfume. But the principle is the water washing. You just got to be in the right place. Some of us struggle with it because we don't allow the Word to be coming into our lives on a regular basis. And that will help clean some stuff up. But it doesn't stop there. Because the principles of God's Word will help you with your time and your money or dealing with people and relationships. But it's not all that there is. There's still a lot more. We see the next level is called the milk of the Word of God. We see this out of 1 Peter 2, verse 2. It says, as sincere children, desire the milk of the Word of God. Desire the milk that you may grow. The milk of the Word of God is going in us, and it's given us strength to grow. It's not people that just are looking for God to fix their situation and they don't want to grow. It's people that are hungry to be better, to do better, to learn more. They're growing. The milk of the Word grows. The milk of the Word is that specific word that you need in your moment. And when you have a real relationship with Jesus, there's moments, it could be in a service. I could be talking about end time prophecy, but all of a sudden you got the word that you needed about your marriage or about your finances or about your job or about a problem or a decision you're having to make. And people come up, Pastor, you must have been reading my mail. You said, and I wasn't even on that topic. And I just graciously smile and say, well, praise God. I have no idea that I even said anything along those lines. It's not in my notes. It's not in my memory. I don't remember it. But somehow in the moment, God used the moment to speak into their life. And it could be anytime, any place. An interesting story. Years ago, my daughter, Logan, who's 11 years old, she came several weeks early than she's supposed to. And so she was in the NICU for a little bit of time. And one of the things they had Kim do, and I thought this was amazing. This is what the doctors told us. I had never heard this in my life. But they would have Kim hold Logan. And as she would hold the baby skin to skin, Kim's body, the mother's body, would automatically pick up what Logan, the baby's body, was deficient in vitamins and minerals. And when she would hold her, Kim, the mother's body, would recognize what the baby was missing and would put those vitamins and minerals in the milk for future nursing. So when the baby was drinking the milk, the baby was getting the exact formula that it needed. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't tell me that there's no God, all this stuff that came out of just a big bang. That the baby's nutritional need at the moment was being met. A specific tailored meal just for the moment. See, you don't have to just look for ideas. The Holy Spirit will give you specific tailored moments of instruction and word. What you need in the moment, in that moment, and that word will come alive to you, and he'll give you this exact word that you need, the meal you need at the moment, that you can grow. And you'll walk away from a service, say, wow, that's exactly what I needed here. The Holy Spirit, I mean, God just placed this word in my heart, and you feel encouraged, and you're strengthened, and you're growing. But it doesn't stop there. There's another level that we see out of that. 1 Peter 2:2, but then it goes into, we see 1 Corinthians 3:12, and Hebrews 5:12. Talks about not only the milk of the word, but the meat of the word, and the strong meat of the word. See, when a baby doesn't have teeth, all they can do is just drink, and that gives them enough nutrition. But as a child grows and develops teeth, they can't live on milk. They need some food. They need something more dense to give them, make them stronger, help them keep growing. And you can't live spiritually when you first get saved. You're a baby. Take the simple truths. Allow them just to wash over you. Allow them to feed you. But after a while, you got to get some more serious truths in your life for you to receive and understand that you got a purpose. You're not here by accident. God has gifts for you. God's got a calling for you. God's got anointing for you. And you begin to develop these, and you need to develop the teeth to chew on the word, because you just don't hear it and say, oh, that was nice. You take it home and you read it, and you keep meditating on it, and you keep praying it, and you look over that verse, and as you're doing what you're doing, you're chewing on the word. And as you chew on the word, you don't swallow a piece of meat whole without chewing it. You'll choke. There's some truths you just don't get because you heard it. You got to meditate on them. And as you do, over the process of meditation, am I helping somebody? And the process, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to give you a deeper revelation, a deeper understanding, a deeper journey. And now you're starting to get more truth out of this. That's why the Bible says that the anointing of God will teach you all things that you don't need a teacher. It's not saying that we don't need people to teach us. It's saying that when you allow the anointing, when God uses people, it's the anointed word that will bring revelation to you. Man, you start meditating on it. You get deeper truths. You're getting stronger. But it doesn't stop there. There's another level, and that's strong meat. To chew strong meat, you not only need teeth, you need a strong bite. Just like Max. When you have strong meat, that means it's not only just a deep thought. That means you've got a hold of a promise, and you have clamped down on it. God, your word, not just because someone said it, or you thought it was an idea, or you thought it was cool, or it's popular, but God, in your own time, a promise from the word of God, by the Spirit of God, a conviction, you got a hold of it, and you were hanging on to it, regardless of what happens around you. You know God said to you. That's a conviction, just not a conviction not to sin, but a conviction to do what God's called you to do. And you got a hold. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a conviction. We're not bowing, we're only worshiping God. And when the king brought them before and turned up the fiery furnace, they said, okay, King, we want you to know that our God is well able to deliver us. But if he chooses not to, we want you to know that we still will not bow. Yes. Why? Because they had a conviction that was stronger than the moment, a conviction that was stronger than the pressure. And if you want to reach the great things that God has for you, you got to be like that pit bull, like Max said, get a hold of it. You got to get a hold of a conviction in your life that is stronger against all odds of pressure and people and opinions and gossip and ridicule and inconvenience and hard times, and say, regardless of what happens around me, God has said to me, and I refuse to bow. I refuse to back up. I refuse to give in. I will have what God said I could have. I will do what God's called me to do. I will reach who God's called me to reach. I will be who God's called me to be. And I don't care what the bank account says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care. At the end of the day, I'm hanging on to the truth that the Spirit of God has revealed in my heart. Come on, give the Lord a better amen than that. Because there'll be pressures against the opportunity. But the moments change, the temporary. That's why the Bible says, don't focus on the temporary, focus on the eternal. In closing, true story, many years ago, my dad was alive, and he's in heaven today. And he pastored Hope Church for 38 years, was a pastor for over 40. And one day I called him. He was a great go-to person when he had a problem about anything. And this particular day, I had this big tree by my house. I had a branch, and it looked like it was about to fall. And I called him and said, Dad, I need help. I got to get this tree branch cut down. But I don't have a chainsaw. I'll come on over, son. So he brought his chainsaw. So he took a ladder, big ladder, put it up against a tree. He gave me his chainsaw. We got it started. I climbed. It was about 10, 15 feet in the air. It was up there. And if you've ever cut a tree or branch down, you know that you got to be very careful where you're at, where the branch is at, how you cut. And I mean, I analyze this from all angles and make sure I did it right. I don't want to. Crimp his chainsaw, mess it up. I don't want the thing to fall on me or him or the house. So I'm doing everything that looked right. But what I didn't realize is that, and some trees will do this, when they grow, if for whatever reason, if there's a tension on them, they will grow and the tension will stay on the inside of them. So they will not just grow straight, but they'll grow with like a little twist. You don't see that on the outside. The outside, it looks... Man, that could be a whole series right there, couldn't it? That's pretty good. Because we all know people that look normal at first found out they're all twisted. Oh, well, so I don't got time for that. We got to stay on point. And so I'm cutting this, and I'm at the top of this ladder, and I'm cutting this so carefully, doing everything right, and not realizing that there was this tension, this coil within that branch, and that when it came loose, the coil, the branch spun in reverse direction, came off and hit me in the head. That's what I thought. Thank you for the sympathy. I mean, I appreciate sympathy. And so, I mean, it dazed me. I'm hanging on. I'm thinking, don't fall. You know what I mean? You're 10, 15 feet in the air. I'm trying to hang onto the ladder. Blood's flowing down my face. I'm kind of halfway blacking out. And I heard from the bottom of the ladder where my dad was said, wisdom from heaven. You know, wisdom from those who have gray hair. True story. And he shouts to me as I'm standing there, moving back and forth, hanging on. He shouts, don't drop my chainsaw. True story. Forget about me, blood flowing, passing out, dropping land on my head. Don't drop. True story. Why do I tell you that? Because I want to end with this thought. There'll be times when you begin to hang on, and you get a hold of God's word, and pressure will come against you, oppositions, the storms of life will come against you, people will ridicule you, maybe mock you, try to be in your way to stop you, and there'll be moments in your journey, possibly, God forbid, but possibly, where you were hanging on to the promise, and all of a sudden you've been hit unexpectedly, you've been doing everything right, but you just got smacked, and you feel yourself being disoriented spiritually, and you don't know which way's up, and you don't know if you're going to fall or make it or let go of the promise, and I hope that in that moment, the Spirit of God brings my voice into your ears, and you hear me shout at the top of my lungs, don't let go of the promise of God's word! Hang on to it! Hang on to it! Hang on to it against all odds. Hang on to it. It's what will see you through. It's what will bring you on top. It is your stability, your foundation, your shield, your sword. It's all that you, it's in the word. Don't let go of the word of God. Hell or high water, if they all leave you, let them go. But don't let go of God's word. Don't let go of God's word. But they won't be my friends. They're not your friend anyway. Let them go find some real friends. He said, she said, they're going to leave me if I don't. Let them walk out the door. If anything challenges the supreme position of Jesus in your life, let it go. But I'll cry. You'll cry now. You'll rejoice later. Let it go. Because you've been imprisoned by circumstances. Keep the word. Keep Jesus number one in your life. Don't let go of the promise of God. Get a hold of it. Not just an idea, when the Spirit of God, as you've just spent time with the Lord, and he begins to reveal that promise, get a hold of it. Don't let go against all odds and watch what God will do. Hebrews 6, faith and patience, but you've got to have the tenacity to have a maximum life. You got to get a hold of it and not let go. Say, I'll not let go. In Jesus' name. See, that comes out of the connection, because that's what Hebrews says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not let go. I'm not letting go. It belongs to you. You're a branch connected to the vine, and all that's in the vine is yours. Don't let go. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.